to another episode of Grey's Academy, your two favorite hosts in the entire existence of existence. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast.
And
we're going to do one.
You know, we are going to do it. There's a couple things that I think we should say right off the bat. Number one, we didn't do a cold open today. It's just so late. Actually, it's crazy. My computer is for some reason telling me it's 4 hours later than it actually is right now, which is funny. cough. Second,
you're still coughing.
I'm still coughing. It's
are
the worst.
Hives all the way gone though?
The hives are gone. The hives are gone, which is good. But if we get an Apple review about my coughing, I'm gonna rage. You hear that? What is she hiding? I'm gonna rage. We did get a new one?
Yeah.
Wait, what? I didn't even see it. From today?
Yeah.
Oh. Let me see. Go to our podcast. And, oh, wait, no, it's not a new one.
Oh, well, I've not seen it before.
Who's it from?
MRunner12.
Yeah, so let's start this whole episode. This whole episode is dedicated to you, MRunner12. I thought I read this review a couple weeks ago when it came through for the first time, because her original, I'm shorting it, MRunner is short for Emma, but I guess their review came through. As a fellow Midwesterner.
She didn't say girly, so.
Oh, yeah, okay. As a... Fuck, shit. I'm dying. As a fellow Midwesterner and girly with anxiety, I feel like I can relate to both Carmen and Kelsey in many ways. I love how relatable they are and the way they make me laugh out loud as I'm listening to the pod on my way to work. Not only is this a great podcast about Grey's Anatomy, it's a great podcast where two friends are clearly having fun and a fun time together and letting us all listen in. I look forward to Thursday every week. She went back and put in like prologue. She wouldn't put like a prologue and add it onto her post that says, Carmen missed my review the last time I posted it, so reposting in hopes of a shout out. Sad face. MRunner12, I am so sorry. I thought I read it and I guess I didn't. MRunner, this whole episode is dedicated to you, but please do me a favor. Please message me on Instagram at carmen.gabriel.official, and please let's talk about this. I'd love to get to know you a little bit more because
also,
I do
where
feel
in the
very,
Midwest?
Very
I want to know where in the Midwest she's from.
I don't know.
I
know where I'm
your
from.
Next door neighbor.
What if we are? That'd be great.
That'd be crazy.
One in like billions, you know? I do have a couple other shout outs really quick. Got a shout out Maddie, going through all of her tests lately. That's not easy. Gonna be a veterinarian, gonna change the world. Got a shout out, Isabel. I know you just got to your last shout out, but thank you for catching up. Sabina, have to definitely talk through that. Katya, just everything you do is awesome. Karandeep, I've got a couple messages from you I got to get back to. Andrea, always loving to get to hear from Germany every time I message you. Got a couple of new folks that I was chatting with. Kim, Amy, Shelby, and Heidi. Thank you guys for not only following but messaging me back. Hans, love getting to chat with you, pal. Vanna as well. Love getting to chat with Vanna. And then Martha and Aaron. Fuck. So many. Okay. I think that's it. I'm done. Kelsey,
well,
what about you?
Thank you so much. I'm sure I have some. Last night I went to bed at 9:30 and I wish I was, doing that again right now. It was very nice. I really enjoyed it. When I had to wake up in the morning, I was like, wow. So glad that I went to bed at 9:30 last night.
I was still
really would
at
like
work
to make that my normal. But alas.
Uh-oh.
Ashley.
You got a shout out?
I'm just going to read through a bunch. Jolie, Megan, Amber, Ashley, Erica, Rebecca, Danielle, and Roman.
Woo!
I think, yeah. Amazing.
Love
Thank
it.
You guys for sending us messages.
Absolutely. All right. Let's, what do you say we talk about an episode, dude?
Let's do it. This episode is, scrolled down, episode 193 overall, the 21st episode of the ninth season. It is called Sleeping Monster, and that is a song. Now, before you talk about it, the website that I used told me it was by a band called Mastodon, and the song they sing is Sleeping Giant. So I just Googled Sleeping Monster and found like the only one that was released before this episode came out. So I was doing a little bit of assumptions on my part. So,
well, I'll tell you, there's really not, the album is called Solitude. The band is called Tribeca and the song is called Sleeping Monster. And it was released. All I can find is that it was released in 2004. And it was a three-song EP, January 1st, 2004, off of Labrador Records, which is hilarious to me. But I can't find anything else about this. If I search for the band Tribeca, I can tell you that they... Nope, that's not them. Pfft, never mind. I got nothing.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, the song was just weird. Okay. Yeah. Every once in a while, we get those songs that are really hard to find. I spend more time listening to them than I do researching them, especially if they don't have a lot of information right off the bat. So this song was just okay. I'm going to go ahead and give it an objective and subjective 1.9.
Okay. Noted.
Yeah. Not being downloaded. If your favorite band is Tribeca and this is your favorite song of all time, I'm so sorry. And also, don't fucking write a review about my music taste because I'm sick and tired of what is she hiding?
Not just culture makers, but okay.
Not culture makers.
Oh, wait, we have to shout out. Meg texted
us. Yes, Meg. Meg texted us. That was funny.
Meg texted us and said we need to make the Not Culture Makers shirt. Should have yogurt on it.
I fear that depending on how intricate the yogurt picture is, it might just look like a puddle of jizz.
Well, you would probably put it like in a yogurt cup.
It could also look like a...
Maybe we could put an ENT on it. Because I got a sniffles. You know what? Here's also why I sniffle all the time. It's because I always be yawning, and every time I yawn, my eyes water and my nose runs. That's why I be sniffling.
Because
It's bedtime.
It is bedtime. I have not slept well for probably like 7 weeks. 4 years.
I was about to say, I haven't slept super well since I had my first child.
Yeah. Goodness. Speaking of children though, let me tell you, we watched the Lorax movie on Netflix the other day. Not only is that movie good, it's a good rendition of one of my favorite stories about the overarching themes of capitalism and what humans do to rape Mother Earth, unfortunately. But yeah, it's Danny DeVito is the Lorax.
Yeah.
Zac Efron and Taylor Swift are the love couple, and I think it's Ed Helms is the Onceler. Like,
and that song, the song is so catchy.
Ooh, it's interesting. Spoiler alert: 'cause it's 13 years ago now. The book, you know, doesn't they take some liberties? Obviously,
they add to it
and all that, but. In the movie, the Onceler makes a deal with the Lorax, and they all become friends. And he's like, "I promise I won't chop down any trees." And they're like trying to like pluck the truffula threads off the tree. And the stupid mom is like, Oh, 1C, can't we just chop down a couple trees? And then, you know, from there, it's all downhill. But anyways, great movie. Great movie. 10 out of 10. I'm giving it a 10 out of 10. That's a perfect score in Carmen's book.
Well, thank you for clarifying that a 10 out of 10 is a perfect score. So I was unsure.
Well, for all of you out there listening who think that 5 out of 7 is a perfect score, it is also a perfect score.
Oh.
No, 5 out of 7. It's a meme. Have you ever seen that meme? I think we've talked about this before.
Oh, okay.
There's a meme where basically someone says, I'd give it a perfect score, 5 out of 7.
Oh, I don't know that.
And then
one.
Like they go back and forth. No? I'll see if I can find it and I'll send it to you.
Okay. This episode, how did we get to the Lorax already with the tangents? This episode,
we're talking about kids and it's a kids movie.
Was written by Bronwyn Garrity, directed by Bobby Roth, aired April 25th, 2013 to 8.24 million views. And the Netflix synopsis. Scroll. After several of Bailey's patients die, she becomes the focus of a CDC investigation. Christina teases Alex about his feelings for Joe. Pretty accurate.
Yeah, decently accurate.
Here is my first glaring issue with this episode. And it's really not with the episode. It's with something in the episode. If you are the CDC and you have to do an investigation in a hospital, maybe wearing members-only jackets with CDC printed in huge block letters across the back isn't the move, because that's a really fast way to incite panic.
Yeah, you would think.
Anyways, what were you going to say?
I thought this was a pretty decent Alex episode. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. we've got an interesting arc that happens within it. But this episode actually, I would give it a high 9 out of 10 just off of comedic timing and one-liners alone.
There are some really good one-liners in this one for sure. I agree with that. I have a couple jotted down. I feel bad for Jackson in this episode. I don't think he's doing anything wrong, but he's really getting the shit end of the stick with every single human being that he encounters. I love Bailey, and like obviously she's not at fault, but I think he took the right steps. So yeah, to jog everyone's memory, if you did not also watch this episode, this is right after Bailey had some patients with post-op infections return, and they all had the same strain of staph. So they've called in the CDC to investigate. The CDC is like testing the hospital, checking out all possible factors, essentially. Bailey is benched pretty much for this, like until the investigation is finished, which is fair. Everyone on the board except for Jackson is mad and didn't want to call in the CDC, but he did it, which again, probably the right move. And then also in this episode, Christina has to do a surgery on a newborn. So they do a C-section with Christina and Alex do the C-section with Joe's boyfriend. So Alex has to work with him. So that's like a plot point. Kind of back again. And then we get more Ethan and his parents, and his grandma finally shows up. Ugh. That's what's happening in this episode. The main plot point is the investigation around Bailey.
You know how I get bored with long storylines that I think are stupid?
You're done with Ethan?
I'm done with Ethan. Like the Ethan Owen relationship is clearly it is a vessel for Christina thinking that she's losing Owen. Somehow I really need your help understanding these connections here, because I'm not understanding shit. But yeah, the Ethan storyline, I'm just so done with it. I'm like, dude, go your parents, like, okay. Clearly not going well.
Yeah.
But like, we got a hospital to run. Okay. Your grandma's here. Owen, get out of here. What are you doing? Whatever. Anyways, what a crazy. I guess let's just start there. Let's just start.
Yeah.
Let's just, we just start. Okay.
Ethan's grandma has finally arrived. Also, Ethan has a soccer ball in the hospital. Feels risky. Owen's still walking around with Ethan. They go to the grandma. Grandma's like, oh, I'm so old and emotional. And so they go see Rachel, the mom. And the grandma is doing that peak boomer thing where they're like, this child cannot know what's happening. We must shield the child and lie to them rather than let them be involved.
That causes less trauma, grandma.
Yeah. Fuck. And so she's like, Ethan, you shouldn't have to know about any of this, which like, yeah, perfect scenario. Like they've never gotten in a car crash. He doesn't know about all this stuff, but like they did. So like, it's fine that he's in the loop. And then, so they go with grandma and the mom to go see Paul, the dad, who is still unconscious, but not getting worse. So Christina like still thinks he's going to wake up. Still, he's still improving. And so they go see him and Rachel's making jokes and she's happy to be back with him. And grandma's like, don't make jokes. And then she keeps making jokes and grandma's like,
that was stupid.
She's like, my son is dying. And Owen says, no, he's not dying. This is not, that's not what's happening. And so again, peak boomer, peak, no emotions allowed from anyone but me. And no emotions differing than mine. You're not allowed to handle this in a way that is differing than the way I want it handled.
Yep. Love that part of the storyline.
Yeah.
And I like that she does it anyway. She's just like, I haven't looked this good since I got that worm and like got food poisoning, blah blah blah. Yep. And grandma's like, you bite your tongue, you demon scorpion bitch. And I'm like, whoa. Yeah. How did this
grandma
get here?
Overreacts? Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, crazy. So, you know, yeah, she's not having a great time. So Ethan's upset. So he and mom go to the cafeteria to like get some ice cream or something. Owen is upset. He's like, this grandmother is useless. Why is she even here? I'm doing such a better job with this child. And Christina yet again is asking this man, are you okay? Because he's not. You know, it's just, Owen, just, it's enough, is how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. He's getting way too clingy. He's clearly crossing the line of
doctor.
Of being attached and doctor and patient and all this. It's not good. It's not.
Yeah, it's bizarre. But of course, because it's Owen. So then Ethan and his mom are in the cafeteria and she starts seizing. Just like slumps over in the wheelchair, starts seizing. Everyone kind of runs over to help. They call Derek down. Owen takes Ethan's like, go back to your grandma. I'm going to go check on your mom. It's going to be fine. He's sprinting up the stairs. Derek's on the elevator. Owen gets up there first. Elevator opens. She's already dead.
Yeah, it was so dramatic watching him run up the elevator. How many floors did he need to go to, or how many stops were people like accidentally pressing the button because they're like, we got to go up too. And they get up there. He gets up there at the exact same time as them.
Well, he probably runs so fast. I don't know if those elevators move that fast.
But also, you think like in hospitals, they have a button where it's
like an override?
An override to just go to the floor so it's not stopping every time someone wants to get on. Do you think they have override buttons like that?
I would hope so. Or they have an elevator that's like at maybe at a certain part of the hall that's only accessible. Like it's not the main elevators. You know what I mean? Like, because they have those elevators in the lobby and then they have those elevators that go to the OR floor.
Yeah,
I would hope they're different, but who's to say? Maybe they're different depending on the episode. So anyways, Rachel's dead. So then he has to go tell Ethan. And Ethan is like, is it because we were eating ice cream? Someone, for the love of God, get this child in the care of someone who can help him work through this. Like, Owen is doing him no favors by keeping him here. It's very selfish, and it's just not what, I mean, he's like, this is what I think is best for Ethan, because it's what I want. But there's no, he's not coping well. He needs to be helped through this process. Even if both of his parents were fine, it's still a wildly traumatic event that he would need help to get through.
Yeah.
So that's frustrating. Owen tells Ethan, and then Ethan says, oh, I have to go hold my grandma's hand. She's upset.
Yeah, how traumatic is that? You know, how often do we see in shows where the kid becomes the counselor for the adult? And
yeah.
Also, the grandma was just so mad at her.
She was so rude.
Like, it's not even her daughter. It's her daughter-in-law. Yeah. And, like, Ethan is just sitting there like, ooh, she's dead. No. It's just weird. This whole, everything is interesting in this storyline. And Owen's, like, clearly getting emotional, right? Like, and also, this was like a vessel for Christina and him to be talking about stuff and not quite fully understanding.
Christina still doesn't. She's like, can you not be attached, please?
Yeah. Yeah. And she, and he, like, I remember at one point they were going to the elevator and he's like, yo, you trying to go to the on-call room right now? Like, you trying to do some naughty stuff? And she's like, no, I got to go do this, blah, blah, blah. But afterwards, I'm going to need a celebration, fuck. And he's like, you call me anytime. It's weird. It's just weird at this point now. I don't know what's happening.
Well, and then later she says something about, oh, let's go home so you can rest. And he's like, no, I should stay here and take care of this man. Like, what would you do? And she's like, I would go home because I'm a doctor, not the family.
Yes. That line hits home hard.
Like, people shit on her a lot, but I think it's interesting because in this episode, she has incredible bedside manner for her patient. I don't think she's for being
all of the
rough
patients she's had, she's been doing well.
I don't think she's being harsh to him. I think she's just saying, like, my guy, you have to have a motherfucking boundary every once in a while.
Yeah, because that's how you burn out. That's how you go crazy.
Yeah, for sure. So, also, why are they even still talking to each other? And then at the end, when she's talking to Alex and she says, oh, I think I'm losing Owen. Okay. Lose him. Lose him faster and more. Lose him for all of us. Make him be lost. He should never be.
Go back in time and lose the starting of
him. Lose him in the forest. Do not leave a breadcrumb trail. Like, just go away, Owen.
Did you say breadcrumb?
No, I said breadcrumb.
I thought you said breadcrumb, and I'm like, what the
breadcrumb trail?
Look at those breadcrumbs. Whatever. Like, it's weird, and they keep talking about Ethan's dad, and so yeah, he still hasn't woken up. And Owen, it sounds like he's finally picked the lane of not, like, he trusts Christina's judgment on the medicine, because it was, at first he was mad that she didn't include Russell, then she included Russell, and then he's like, blah, 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 why'd you do this? This is crazy. Like, why don't you care about this patient? He's a child. And, you know, now it seems like he's finally like, oh, like, Christina's going to do her job well no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's her character.
Yeah, that's who she is as a human and a doctor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it does seem to be the storyline that just, it's like, why, you know? Do you have a guess of why? What's the end goal?
I mean, the end goal maybe is he had a, like, this hits home for him because he lost his, like, I keep thinking that he lost his parents to something like this. Like, he was orphaned at a young age, but I don't, if
we have
gotten
his
backstory. Oh yeah, that's right. but that's what I was going to say. If there was any backstory on Owen, I don't remember it genuinely.
Mostly so the backstory was that we had was that lady that he was engaged to before he went to war.
Oh, yeah.
He breaks up with her. He meets Teddy. They're like, no, sorry. He meets Teddy. They're together still. He breaks up with that girl, but Teddy doesn't know that they broke up. Then he comes and works there, but doesn't tell anyone he's home. And he has all the PTSD. Then Christina goes with him to tell his mommy's home. Then Teddy comes and works. I think that's, and then we got the flashback episode of like what happened with the platoon.
That's right.
So
that's right.
You know, just more therapy probably is the best case scenario for this man, but simply not something he seems to be interested in pursuing.
I'm curious what what couples therapy for Christina and Owen would look like now that they've broken up and they're like technically
it would look like a therapist together. Going, you're not broken up. Get it together. Exactly. I don't love it. So that's another one that's really dragging on too long is just the two of them in general.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is weird. I don't love it. It's just like whatever. Like the storyline, you gotta go. You gotta go.
It's also, I'm just like, you guys, you gotta make this man appealing. If you're gonna have her be with him, I don't like, there's no level of me that understands why. Every time I just think, why?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not ugly, but he's not that attractive. It's simply not attractive enough to outweigh all of the emotional baggage. I just simply don't. It has not been explained to my satisfaction.
No.
In a way that makes me accept the nonsensory that continues to occur.
Yeah, it's. It also makes me question, like, Christina knows her worth. We went through that arc with Dr. Mr. Feeney. Why is she like falling back into this with Owen? I don't know.
For as good as writing often is on this show, this is really where it fails for me. I'm lost. I don't know why. Why do you want this? Why do you want me to want this?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm also listening to a book right now. I'm listening to one of the Hunger Games prequels. And it's the one that's a prequel about the president of Penn M. And it's really interesting because it's like you root for him in the book, and then I'm constantly like, wait, no, this person ends up being horrible. So it's really, and I'm like, how do we get there? Because he's not horrible right now. I mean, he's not perfect, but he's not horrible. It's so interesting. Anyways, that's my wait, I spend most of today. Penn M, the country in the Hunger Games.
Oh, did not know that was the name of the country.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's America. But that's not what they call it anymore.
Mm, got it.
So.
Oh, goodness. Let's say we do a... Speaking of, you know, capitalist...
Dystopian American hellscapes.
Dystopias, yeah. should we pay homage really quick?
Mm, let's pay homage.
And we are back.
I've had so many friends lately.
Back, but it's okay.
Tell us, like, oh, you were talking about this, and then I got that ad. Oh, someone on Discord said that we were talking about capitalism, and then they got the Monopoly ad, which is so funny. And then in one, we were talking about when you went to, like, look at the Hyundais, and then they got an ad for the Hyundai dealership.
That's great. That is capitalist AI working for the people, not
also, you guys, Skynet. You guys being Carmen, stop sharing AI slop. For the love of God, it's awful.
I don't share any AI slop. I share AI magic if I do share anything AI.
Mm-mm, mm-mm. It's garbage. All
who shared garbage. Who shared the AI stuff in our group chat? The one with the dog and the kid.
Ryan.
What was the group? The group thing, it was just people with different songs, right? That's all it was? It was the the background music for that same TikTok. I was trying to understand what that was.
It was, no, it wasn't. It was a musical artist released one song in 7 different videos. And I've seen other people do similar things where they're like, I'm making this same video with like 3 different ways, like slightly altered to see which one the algorithm pushes the furthest. And so it was like, for whatever reason, the 7th one did really well. And everyone was like, well, I saw group 7, so I'm in group 7. I don't know. I don't open TikTok.
Yeah.
I'm very old. Groups. Carmen and I are losers. We don't TikTok.
If it's not sent to me on Instagram, I'm not seeing it. But, you know, I will say I'm getting a little bit curmudgeon-esque. I'm a bit of a curmudgeon about people sending me Facebook stuff. You know who's been sending me so many Facebook posts lately is my fucking wife, Jessica.
What?
Jessica is sending me Facebook Messenger reels.
I will
search for the reels on Instagram and send them to me.
That's what I do. Like a millennial. That is literally what I do. If I get a good reel on Facebook and I'm like, I must share this with someone, I will go to that person's profile because typically it is linked directly to their Instagram. Yes. You can even click on the comments, and if it's posted on Instagram, you can click open in Instagram.
Yes. Yes. It's It's the small victories, Kelsey, that it's times like these that I am like, yes, we were meant to be podcast partners.
Yeah. Well, thank God your wife isn't sending me Facebook videos because I would have to say, no, grandma, no.
And in the rare, minuscule minority of percentages of times, I will just Facebook message it. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, if I absolutely have to, but I will exhaust every other option first.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever.
To be alive in 2025.
Alive in 2025. What else is in this episode that we gotta talk about? Let me look here. Finger family.
Oh my god! You know who the uncle is, right?
He's a face that I recognize, but I can't.
He's the super, like the manager for the apartment in Friends.
Yes. Krieger. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I forgot to tell you. Jess and I were at a wedding last weekend.
Same.
Since we'd recorded. And different reasons. and the bride is one of the biggest Friends fans I think I've ever met.
Oh, really?
And yeah, like even bigger than you. It's like twice you.
Wow.
I say that with respect. Like when I think of, you know, a couple of fandoms, Kelsey's definitely at the top of at least 2 that I know of. Friends being one of them. And they wrote their own vows. And I wish they would have taken a moment to throw homage to the I, Ross, take the Rachel bit. And so when the person who was officiating, which, by the way, this was a Jewish wedding. I'd never been to a Jewish wedding before. I watched them smash the glass, which was really cool. I'd never seen that. She did not get up on the chair. She's terrified of heights, but it's okay. but when the officiant was saying, do you, Jordan, take Danielle? I wish he would have said, I, Ross, take the Rachel, or as the joke, but
yeah,
missed opportunity. It's okay, everyone. It's hard. It's a curse being the funniest person to have ever lived.
We do sometimes have to say, is this the moment? And as someone who works weddings, it might not have been the moment, but they could have tossed it in somewhere else.
Yeah, it's okay. I disagree, but I respect the drip, Karen. Okay.
I recall you also making a joke during your ceremony, so it's fine.
Thunderous, roaring laughter and applause ensued.
That would be how you would remember it.
It's a fact.
that you remember.
Also, I didn't even say a joke. I gave a funny pause.
It's fine.
Kelsey's smiling because it's hilarious.
It's fine. I'm smiling through gritted teeth because I've somehow managed to tie myself to you without even the marriaging.
Yeah.
Just in the business way.
Which is
just in the legal, in some legal way.
Yeah. In some families, that's a stronger bond than marriage. Mm-hmm.
Depends
on
the family.
Yes. Depends on the family. All right.
Sopranos.
Finger splicing.
Okay. So yes, there's a family reunion and someone decides they should play tug of war with clothesline for some reason, never disclosed. And so then at some point, a bunch of them wrap the clothesline around their hands so they can get a better grip for the tug of warring again. These people are adults. It's like,
we could have just said no at any time.
Yeah. You know, we have survival of the fittest. These are the people that would have died. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't.
These are the people that don't even make it out of the water onto land. That's how far back this goes.
Oh my gosh. So random, but because you mentioned it, I saw this video in.
Was it AI?
No. I believe, oh my gosh, was it Antarctica? I think it was Antarctica. They're like, what would happen if you like drilled a hole and dove all the way down? So it's like all this ice, all this ice, all this ice. And like the bottom of it is like 15 million years of being frozen. And then you get closer to the core and it's melted. So there's a lake that has been completely frozen miles underneath the Earth's surface for 15 million years. So there's quite potentially life that has like evolved into something we can't even fathom because it's been untouched by the air for 15 million years. Isn't that wild?
I need to see this video. This
I will
is
find
so
it and send it to you. It was crazy. Yeah.
That's how what are they? The Kyurems? What are the
I don't
the
even
monsters
know what you're trying
movie?
To say.
That battle movie where you put the battle mech
like
suit on
I
you to punch the aliens.
Seen.
Okay, I'm gonna figure this out. There's someone yelling at me right now. Who knows? Just
Oh, I was like, is it your wife? I see what you're saying.
No, someone is.
Okay, so yeah, they're at the family reunion. A bunch of people's fingers get cut off, and then the daughter, this like young girl, her hands were crushed when everyone fell over, I guess somehow. But her fingers are all intact, but her hand is smooshed. So Callie and Arizona have to operate on her, but also she's a teeny little investigative reporter. So she's like in 10th grade or something and she's wants to win the Pulitzer Prize, but doesn't know who Woodward is. And it's very funny. And she's like, my Second Amendment rights because you won't give me my phone. It's just, she's a bit of a goober, but she has ambition, which I can appreciate.
Who did she say? Woodward?
Yeah.
Who's Woodward?
One of the reporters that broke Watergate.
Oh, okay, cool.
So anyways, so she's, and that's when I noticed that when she's like, why is the CDC here? I'm like, why are they wearing that? Like, be a little bit of stealthiness, please.
But that also, they should have just put out the press release like Jackson Avery said.
Yeah.
I'm on his side the whole time.
Would be, what would the press release say? That's where I wanted a little bit more clarity. Just like, what is it that they're saying in the press release?
I mean, you probably could have said something super vague of, you know, Gray Sloan Memorial Hospital is looking into some sort of connection in cases. The CDC will be here. There's no reason for alarm. We will update if more comes. If not, your health is of utmost importance to us.
Right. Yeah.
Or have like AI write that for you. I don't know.
Stop.
Actually, someone resigned from their job at my work, and they used AI to write it, and they wrote the wrong date of their resignation by a month.
You guys,
and they replied to the email acknowledging that it was correct and then said it was wrong.
Guys, AI is so bad. Please stop using it. Everyone, it's garbage.
I actually met someone who said they plugged an entire text conversation into AI and asked for its feedback about how to handle the conversation from a friend. And I'm like, that's not good.
Ask a different friend.
Right. Or call a therapist.
There was one where I saw where this girl had posted the first person, quote unquote, that she told that she was pregnant was ChatGPT. Because she talked to ChatGPT like every day.
That's... I know I use
and the response is
like
so
joke,
unsettling.
But like, it's truly insane. It's insane. It's actually insane.
Because the response was like, oh, I know how much you want this. I know this means so much to you.
What?
Like, yeah. Yeah. It's really upsetting. I hate it so much. Please stop talking to ChatGPT. That's all I want for Christmas.
Yeah, if you need someone to talk to Kelsey and myself.
Please,
like we're,
for the love of God. Or just use Google. What's been functioning for us, fine, up until now. Stop asking ChatGPT.
Don't give me your
Google is biased bullshit. ChatGPT is built to tell you what you want to fucking hear, so I don't need it. Don't need it.
If you ask ChatGPT, it'll probably say Truth Social is good. I don't know.
Oh my God.
If you also are listening to Grey's Academy and you want to talk to someone, consider joining the Patreon. We have a whole community
of people who love Grey, and everyone else is very active. There's always someone on there ready to chit chat about something. Very supportive people. We talk about more than just this show. We talk about other shows. We also just talk about life in general. Like, it's just, you do not need to talk to ChatGPT. There are so many people that are talking, are willing to talk to you, that are human beings, and will actually loop you into this reality where you are. I just cannot with this. I hate it so much.
Look at how long the hair of my hair is.
It's very long. Okay, Frankie has to have surgery on her hand. Her dad is the worst. I don't like her dad. Tony sucks. I think I'm supposed to feel bad for Uncle Al, and I do. Because he's trying his best. He's trying to stay positive. He's trying to be helpful. Everyone's like, you suck. You're the worst. Everything's your fault. And then Tony is like, it's okay, Frankie. You're going to be fine. And then turns around and like yells across the room to his wife, it's so much worse than we thought. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was like actually kind of funny, but in like a terribly dramatic, I hate looking at this kind of way.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And you know, at one point, what does she say? She says something to the effect of, my notes are probably all in order. I don't remember where this happened, but she's like, I'm sick and tired of having to go and do these hangouts where like I pretend to not hate these people I hate. And I'm like, that's just called family. You know, that's just like, most of the time, you're probably going to hate something about your family or hate people within your family or hate the opinions of people in your family. One of the above, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just have to do it. And you know what? Maybe you don't have to do a family reunion where it ends up with your fingers getting sliced off because you idiotically agreed on your own accord to do a tug of war. Like, also,
yeah, where's the accountability?
Bring some real fucking rope. Where's the real rope? Okay.
Yeah. Al is not the only person at fault here, is the point. And he is the one that's like, I just try and keep getting everyone together because at the end of the day, it is family and like that's all you have, which sometimes is true. So I think people, you know, this gets thrown around a lot like, oh, it's family. Oh, you have to deal with it, which is not really the case. I don't think to an extent it is, but people can have boundaries. You don't have to put up with people's bullshit. But you don't owe someone anything just because they're related to you. But you know, I do understand the notion of like, this is all we have, if it is a good thing. And it can be found family, you know. But that's like likely to be more positive of a thing than this situation where they all seem to hate each other.
I also, listen, I'm not going to, this is not judging. This is not a judging thing. I just don't see a world where like a family reunion is how I spend any amount of time off.
Yep. Well, it's interesting. I was going to ask if you had ever done like anything similar. Most of my family is all here.
All of Jess's family last year.
Yeah. Well, most of us are all here. So we don't really have to have it be this big production for my family. But Michael's family is a little bit more spread out. And there are people on his side that do host family reunions. And they don't go because they're like, we don't want to spend time with those people. There's a reason we don't live near them anymore.
So. Yeah. I think the dream would be if two sides of the family really liked each other, right?
Yeah.
Like my cousins, Sam and Bryant, they are the ones that Jess is godfather to, their youngest son so far.
Godmother.
And their godmother, right? I would be the godfather. What did I say? Did I say godson?
You said godfather.
Okay, godmother. Anyways, they are with their two kids and both of their parents and people from both sides of their family in Alani right now.
Yeah. That's cool. That is cool.
I don't know that I would ever want to live a life like that, but I want to be a part of that life when Marlo gets to that age. I don't want to do it with my current parents or in-laws. But I want to be the parent or the grandparent who's going to that. That's what I want,
right.
You know?
Right. Well, if one of your kids marries one of my kids, then that'll be the ideal scenario.
Yeah, that's perfect.
We already know how to travel together.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually telling someone about Paris the other day, and I was like, I got to go. I want to go back.
We did not spend enough time in the Louvre, and now they robbed it.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Whoever did that should turn themselves in.
You do whatever you gotta do.
I did it. It was me. For illegal reasons, I'm totally kidding.
Chance in the world that you could pull that off.
No. My ADHD would be like, ooh, piece of candy.
There's also no way you would get there at the appropriate time. You would be late. And that would really mess up the whole heist, probably.
Okay, anyways, do you think that they were withholding Frankie's phone, or did they find it?
No, I think that probably someone else had it, like one of her family members had it, and they just didn't go get it for her, because she was going to be a problem about it. She's like, I'm just going to get on the internet and tell the entire world that the CDC is here.
Twitter.
Back when it was a fun place to be.
Yeah, back when it wasn't a toxic fucking waste dump. How, you know what? We don't have enough time. when Al does walk in with the French fries and he's like, anyone want any fries? And they're like, no one likes you, Al. Everyone shut. Stop looking at him. Ignore him. And he'll eventually go away.
But you're like, damn, I could go for some fries.
I know. I'm like, what? Okay. Actually, I wish I had an Uncle Al who just brought me French fries.
Yeah, I do be loving.
If I was at the hospital, I would want someone to bring me French fries.
Mm-hmm. So true. So true. Yeah. So they do the surgery. Yeah. Frankie's fine, and they end up before she wakes up is when they find out the results of the investigation, which we'll get into more on the next episode, obviously, but. So when she wakes up, they're like, we will give you the press release before we release it to the press so that you can like have this, you know, huge story, blah, 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 all this stuff. So it's a happy ending for Frankie and medium a happy ending for Al, because Jackson is like, why do you keep doing this? And he's like, gotta have family. And Jackson's like, You'll get them next year, buddy.
Well, and then Tony just punches him.
Well, that was what I said was after the punching.
Yeah, I know. But like before, like,
Tony punches him and then says, I think I broke my hand. To which I say, yeah. I hope you broke your hand.
I hope you broke the other hand too, without even touching him.
He's punches Al because Al's trying to be positive. Well, which there is something to be said for toxic positivity. Sometimes there is a moment.
Correct.
Where you can just say, I'm so sorry.
Totally. Jackson says to Tony that Frankie has to be in therapy for her hand for like 6 months to a year. And she could gain the full function back. And that's when Tony goes off on Al for, you know, again, not that toxic positivity is the correct answer, but also punching is not the answer either.
So true. And I will say, as a parent, I guess I probably do understand. I would be annoyed if someone was like, no big deal. Have fun paying for that. That's really, again, that's where my mind goes. It's like, a year of therapy. Are you going to fucking pay for that? Because I'm sure my insurance will.
I can't even afford to eat. I can't even afford the ENT. I'm sick and tired of getting Apple reviews.
Like, culture makers.
Fuck. Culture makers.
So, you know, it's just, this family feels, it's what, problematic. I'm like, does anyone want to go? I just don't, like, you don't have to say yes. I don't understand. Like, don't say yes and then go and be a miserable human being or go and be super rude and negative the whole time. Like, just don't go. I don't, no one's forcing you to do that. I mean, someone's forcing Frankie because they did say that her parents forced her.
She's in high school or something. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a minor, but you know, no one's forcing the adults. So I don't know. That was just kind of weird to me, honestly. But yeah, I guess you kind of get like, you get the happy ending ish for Frankie, you know, like her hand's going to be okay. And she gets to have this big story and like maybe she'll, you know, get picked up by the Times or whatever. And then
Kelly tells her to go be awesome, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Also, I don't know why, but that girl's voice I think is adorable.
Mm. Yeah. It's a cute voice.
I was like distracted by how precious her voice is. She's awesome. I just think she's so adorable. Yeah, that's fine. I don't really know if I have any more on Frankie. Or the family in general, other than, yikes.
Problematic. Toxic, a little bit. No, it was cute. Like, at the end of the story, so yeah, when Callie comes in, gives her the news to break, and she says, be awesome. I like that Frankie's first response was basically like, I have questions for you. Callie says, you get one. And then Frankie says, okay, but I do have one follow-up.
But also
a
follow-up.
So, like, it's cute. It's funny. She's very precocious as a high school student.
And she seems to know what she wants to do, and she's going to fucking do it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when we meet this family, Jackson is coming off the heels of, for the first time, getting a vote on anything he says. And anytime someone doesn't like what he says, they just say, let's just fucking vote on the opposite of what Jackson says. But he goes and he hears like the loudness coming from outside. They bring the fingers in what looks to be a cooler with juice and ice cubes in it.
And
they have
some
the
grass.
Fingers and grass. And they go, we have all these fingers. And Callie goes, no, this one's just a turkey dog. How do you know it's turkey? How do you
know
that's
question.
The consistency?
It's a fair question.
That like troubled me.
They look
me
pretty
all
similar to a hot dog, to be real honest. Turkey dogs
and
look
they
like
all
hot dogs.
Similar just to like, you know, another, yeah, it's just, it's anyways, I.
And then when they have to go through and like fish through all the fingers and match whose is whose, like that's so weird to think about.
Yeah. It is. I mean, I think they had all the fingers, which is wild.
Yeah.
They had all.
But it's like weird to
fingers.
Think that, oh, we have to carry these around and see whose is whose. Like, do you know, is this your finger? Do you recognize this? Yeah.
And one cousin Jane had a manicure, so they were able to tell which one was which.
But then there was like a weird moment where someone says, oh, he's not even in the family. He's just Uncle So-and-so's weird friend. And I couldn't tell if that was supposed to be one of those like jokes where someone is like secretly gay and they don't tell the family and they're like, this is my roommate, but the roommate like comes to everything with them. I was like, that was weird to me. I was like, is that what you're trying to do? Because that's just not really on brand weird. For the show. So I couldn't tell. That was kind of my thing of like why of I just couldn't tell if that's what they were kind of trying to do, because that's not really who Grays is. They would just be like, and this is the uncle's boyfriend. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it was weird. And I think they go, you know, we were all something about they were having a good time with Tug of War until Gigantor came in and apparently ruined everything. And apparently he's a big dude, but his name is Gunner and he's a friend of the family.
Tony's so-and-so's weird friend. Like, that's what they said. Yeah. And I was like, what is I just couldn't tell what if they were trying to like do the bit. And they were roommates.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Anything else that also at the end of all of this, after Jackson helps fix Uncle Al's nose, you know, we get this moment where he's walking out and April's there and he's like, everything worked out. Everything is great. The resolution for the whole show, Bailey's okay. The fingers are okay. And she gives him some sass. And I really like the scene. I don't know if you have any of the receipts on this, but it's just a really good scene. And I've been really wanting to see Jackson and April get together. I don't think that's going to happen, but Jackson still clearly has some feelings for her in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what she's doing, but it was a really good moment where Jackson was like, I'm so fucking sick and tired of people saying I'm the villain.
Yeah.
So stop being a martyr, grow the fuck up. Now I'm walking away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he says, I spent my entire day getting treated like the bad guy. I'm not going to do this with you anymore. You want to feel guilty about what we did? Go ahead. Just leave me out of it. I didn't force you to do anything. I'm sorry that you're hurt, okay? I'm sorry Matthew broke up with you. As far as us sleeping together, I'm never going to be sorry about that.
And he, like, lingers. Bum, bum, bum. That look
and then
lingers.
Matthew's there. And then he's like, okay, bye.
Yeah, that, I did not expect. So the breakup happened. We find that early on in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of the episode, they're no longer broken up.
Which she's like, he broke up with me because you told me to lie to him. Okay. Did he then physically, gun to your head, force you to lie to him? No. Just because someone gives you bad advice doesn't mean it's their fault that you took it.
Also, I don't think that he said to lie. He just said, no, do whatever you want. You'll just sound like a crazy person if you tell him exactly what you told me.
But then I think in the end of that episode, I think he ended up being like, you should tell him, like, be honest with him because he won't want to lose you because you're great. So he'll be okay with it. And then, you know, these people, April, come on. Ain't nobody trying to take accountability in this episode. Except for Bailey, she does.
Except for Matthew, actually.
Yeah.
Matthew takes
it. He's like,
you know.
He does say, he's like, you know what? You made a mistake. You came clean about it, and I got upset. And, you know, that's, you know, good for him. Couldn't be me. I'd probably be like, well, fuck that. Guess that was a waste of my time.
Yeah. So he walks in. He's like, you want a do-over. I'd like a do-over. Let's do over this so that we can get married and then do each other
over the bed.
The bed. I was going to say like a chair or something, but I like that too. That's nice too. Yeah. And then they hug and, you know, she says yes to the do over and it's cute. And they have their forgiveness moment.
Forgiveness. I sing that all the time, and I get mad because I feel like there are times when it's necessary and relevant in a text message, but there's no way for me to convey it in a text message.
If you ever just put the note emojis around forgiveness,
you'll know what I mean.
And you send it to me, I'll just know what you're saying, because I also, that's how I would read it.
Yeah. Okay, good to know. All right, was there anything else on that storyline before we take a wee break, see?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, they were just, you know, good for Jackson, bad for that family, good for Frankie, good for Callie. Callie and Arizona are being cuties.
I love them. Oh, yeah, there was, so the one last thing I'll say on that is they do make, Callie kind of makes a snide remark where she wants Arizona to be in and help her with the prep because she doesn't want to get Bailey'd. She's like, I don't want what happened to Bailey to happen to me. And no one knows at this point that it's a staph infection.
Yeah.
And they just assume that she did some stupid shit or the interns did it. Like, Callie doesn't trust the interns. So that's how she loops Arizona into this whole situation, which.
But she's also like, funny. But I think it's so cute when you irrigate.
Yeah.
So a little flirty flirting because they're cutesy wootsy.
Yeah. Do you think irrigating was code?
No.
For like squirting?
Still no.
I was hoping you were
gonna thank you for asking it. Though.
I'm so funny.
All right. Well, on that note, do you have something else to say that's terrible?
No, I just, anyone who has consensual sexual relations, good.
Yes. Okay, but we're going to take a little break and then we'll come back. And in the next episode, we'll talk all about Bailey and her crises right after everyone's favorite segment.